Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm joined today by the illustrious, wonderful, my friend and the artist, Jamie Weaver.
And also that. Yeah, hi. Hello.
How are you, Jamie?
I'm doing all right, all things considered.
I know. I have not seen you in many moons.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Yeah.
It has been a while.
I've wanted to do an episode like this for like a really long time. And I put out a feeler on social medias saying, does anyone have any feelings about McDonald's? And you were like, I absolutely have feelings.
I have very, very strong feelings about McDonald's. And like, I constantly say that my toxic trait is I just always want to go to McDonald's. Like anytime I'm in a car, I'm like, you think we could just maybe stop by McDonald's? You want to just maybe get some nuggets? Like,
yeah, I don't think that's a toxic trait in the least.
For like spending money and also probably for like my artery health, it's definitely not like the best.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about today, I guess we're mostly going to talk about the 2016 film, The Founder, which is a biopic about Ray Kroc, the supposed quote unquote founder of McDonald's. Although as the film shows you, he's not the founder of McDonald's. He found a fast food restaurant, the first fast food restaurant, really, called McDonald's, run by the McDonald's brothers, Dick and Mac McDonald, and basically was like, I'll franchise for you, and went off and got rich and basically screwed them out of their own name and their own business. Now, The Founder is a film, and films are not reality, but I think, go with me on this, we live in a world of mythology, especially in America, right? This is a land of stories, right? We have all these stories about how this country came to be and the founding fathers and all this. So even though there's facts in the film, The Founder, that are not true, I still feel like this text, this film, should be treated almost like it's truth. It's better than truth. Just like a McDonald's hamburger is better than a real hamburger, because it's a McDonald's hamburger, The Founder is better than real history, I think.
Completely agree. Honestly, like, I'm so willing to believe everything they showed me in this film. Like, yeah. I'm ready to tell everybody, like, this is it. This is facts.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting, The Founder was directed by John Lee Hancock. And this director also directed Saving Mr. Banks, which is a film where Tom Hanks plays Walt Disney. So this director has made a film with Ray Kroc and Walt Disney, who we could argue are like the two creators of America.
Yeah, this director really loves his capitalistic American men. Like, this is a running theme here.
Yeah. In Saving Mr. Banks, have you ever seen that film?
No.
He makes the only thing that he shows that like is slightly edgy is it shows when you walk into a room that Walt Disney's in, there'll be cigarette smoke and he'll be like trying to like blow it away with his hand. Like, that's it. They never show him doing it. He's still a perfect angel how you think of Walt Disney. In The Founder, it's pretty hard on Ray Kroc. He kind of like becomes more and more evil as the film goes on. Yet I feel like part of it still kind of admires him.
Definitely. Like, okay, you see him slowly progress into a villain in every sense of the word, straight up like, I'm cheating on my wife, like just all morals out the window. And even at the end, though, he's still like, and I'm a self-made man and I'm super inspirational. And, you know, and he's basically just recreating like that record that he played in the beginning, his little like motivational record. He's like, I made it. I'm doing that.
Yeah. In the beginning, well, we say Ray Kroc is played brilliantly by Michael Keaton. And yeah, in the beginning, he's like a loser. He's a traveling salesman trying to sell like shake machines, and nobody cares. And like, he does his whole pitch and nobody gives a shit. And he then finds that the one restaurant, McDonald's, which is the only McDonald's there was, is like, they ordered like 8 of them. And he's like, you sure that's not a mistake? Like, how could you need that many shake machines? And they're like, oh, we need them for backup. So then he goes and he visits McDonald's. And I have to say, as a McDonald's lover, I find all of that magic. When he,
oh, I know. Right? I thought it was like fantastical, honestly. I was like, I wish there were still some locations that were operating like this, like just for like the nostalgia factor, honestly, they would do so well.
Yeah.
They would
do
so well.
Yeah. The original McDonald's has no seating. It's a window. It was originally a like a drive-in, which were really popular back then. But now the only one that really exists is like Sonic. But then they were like, you know what? Forget the part where the waitress comes to you. Like, just walk up to the window. And their whole thing was, we'll get you your food in 30 seconds.
Yeah, which is like insane to think about, because even now when I go to McDonald's, it's like a nice 5 to 10 minute wait if it's a good day. Like if it's a quick day, sometimes they're really swamped.
Yeah. It's never been this fast as the way they showed in the movie.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, Ray Kroc goes and he sees, you know, people happy, little kids eating their cheeseburgers. You know, he orders, the menu only has burgers, fries, and Coke. I guess shakes too. And then we meet the McDonald's brothers, which are Dick McDonald is played by Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation. And the other brother, Mac McDonald, is played by John Carroll Lynch, who he was Twisty the Clown in American Horror Story.
And what a shift. Like this whole movie, I wanted to protect him. I just wanted to be like, everything's going to be okay. I'm rooting for you. You are a gentle giant. Like, you're so sweet.
I know.
And Nick Offerman's character too, like I loved him. Like when he was like drawing, like mapping everything out on the freaking tennis court, I was like, okay, this man's a genius.
It gave me like chills, actually.
Yeah, I know. Like masterful.
Yeah.
Like very impressive.
Yeah. Michael Keaton's character, he gets a tour of the kitchen and he sees what they're doing and he's like, how did you come up with this? And they're like, they tell him the whole story of their lives, which at first the McDonald's brothers like worked in movies, and then they were like, we're gonna go into restaurants, and then they had this idea for like what they call the speedy system, and they go to an empty tennis court with like chalk and like basically like right on the ground where the grill will be and where everything will be, and try to create the perfect machine, like try to create a kitchen that is the perfect apparatus for getting you your food in 30 seconds. And it's a whole montage of the, like, they do it and then it doesn't work. And then he like goes down and he gets on his knees and he scrapes it out. And then he tries it again. And like, they finally find it. And I'm sitting there like, this is America.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one of them, when they're talking about it, I think they call it like a ballet or something. It felt beautifully choreographed watching it, honestly, like seeing everybody just whip around each other when they're doing it. I was like, wow, I think it would be so like beautiful if it was still like this. It feels so bleak now.
I know. It's weird the way it's changed over the years, because in this film, when Ray Kroc starts franchising, he literally makes clones. Every McDonald's is basically the exact same building in different places to try to do the same thing. Do you think that we have this reaction because it's truly beautiful, or because as McDonald's enjoying Americans, we're like, it's like Mickey Mouse. It's like the founding fathers. Like, it's called the founder. He's a founding father.
Right. So I think it's partially because I'm in school and I'm like having English class, and I like put all these like different like metaphors and like meanings together and everything when I was like doing my rewatch. Ray Kroc spends a lot of time being like, this is America, like this stands for America. And I think with so many things like, you know, Mickey Mouse and Disney and all those things, people view it as so American. And like, there's so many like positives as to like what that means for people. But there's also like the reality of what that means to be super American as well, which is like, he stepped on small people to get there. Yes. And it's a whole big monopoly. And it's become sort of dark. And it's just like, it's not the wholesome thing that it started out as.
Right.
At all.
Right.
It's a whole new thing.
Right. Like the McDonald's, you know, the McDonald's brothers, like they are the American dream in that, you know, one of them is, at least in the film, who knows about real life, but in the film, Dick is presented as like the smart one. And Mac is presented as like the one with the heart who like just has ambition. But then Ray is the one who like his quote unquote brilliance is seeing a good idea and taking it, which is that not the story of America? We come to a Absolutely. Country that people live on and we go, we've discovered this country and the people there are like, but we live here already. And it's like, no, 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 that's right. We discovered it and we're going to call it America. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the McDonald's website. They're like, Ray Kroc did it all. And I'm like, I'm not too sure.
Do you have that? You were giving me a little bit of this tone before. This is current day. We're recording this in 2022. This is what the McDonald's website says.
Okay. So when you go to their About Us page, I'm pretty sure this is just a giant photo of Ray Kroc's face, actually. So then you scroll down and it says, our story starts with one man. Back in 1954, a man named Ray Kroc discovered a small burger restaurant in California and wrote the first page of our history. From humble beginnings as a small restaurant, we're proud to have become one of the world's leading food service brands with more than 36,000 restaurants in more than 100 countries. So that's like first thing you see on the About Us page is like all about Ray Kroc saying like he started it. Like he did this. And then there's another tab you can press. It's like our history, learn more. And then there's like maybe one tiny little sentence that mentions the brothers. And it says origins. And it says he visited a restaurant in San Bernardino, California that had purchased several multi-mixers. There he found a small but successful restaurant run by brothers Dick and Mac McDonald and was stunned by the effectiveness of their operation. And then basically it just says that like he bought them out and he made it amazing.
Right, right. I mean, even when you look at that sentence, it started with one man who found a restaurant. Like, what? That doesn't make sense.
Right. Like, the restaurant didn't build itself.
Like, it's like I found a perfectly full, complete working thing. I'm the one man.
Right. It's amazing. Right. And Columbus found America.
Like, yeah. Right. Exactly. Just...
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another scene that's, I can't believe that this really happened in real life, but it's beautiful in the movie where the McDonald's brothers in the movie, Ray Kroc is like, let me franchise you. This is his big idea. This is how it would become successful. And they say, no, this is actually factually untrue. In reality, the brothers did want a franchise and Ray Kroc sort of came in and they trusted him and then he screwed them over. Whereas in the movie, it makes it like they didn't want a franchise and he just pounced on them. That's not necessarily true. But there's this scene where he's in the McDonald's office and like on the wall is a beautiful lithograph, a beautiful painting of what they want McDonald's to look like. And it has the golden arches. And he's like, what is this? And he's like, that's my idea for like the platonic McDonald's. That's what McDonald's should look like. And he's like, what are these? And it's like, these are the golden arches. And it looks just like heaven. And when he comes back to try to convince them, he's like, you know, I travel all around this country and I see in every town, there's a church. In every town, there's a post office. And the church has a cross on the top and the post office has a flag. And I think what every town in America needs is the golden arches. Crosses, flags, and the golden arches. All three mean community. All three mean America. And it's crazy because he's right. He
exactly. I was just going to say like that. Yeah. Like that is the fact of the matter. When I was looking like up fun facts about McDonald's, there was something that said like, no matter where you are in America. Yeah. If you're in the US, you're never more than 115 miles from a McDonald's. Like they're everywhere. That's it. The golden arches are
how many, everywhere. I don't know if you still have it up, but what was the number they threw? 100 countries and how many stores?
36,000, which who knows when that was updated, but it's probably more now. I saw another fact on several sites, you know, I didn't bother to go deeper to check, but it said that every 14.5 hours, I think, there's another McDonald's being built, which that I believe.
I'm trying to find, this is going to sound crazy. I'm trying to see if it's still open. In 1996, you know what? I found an article from 1996. This is from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. McDonald's at Dachau stirs anger. Dachau, if you don't know, was a concentration camp during the Holocaust. Furious that McDonald's Corporation has opened a restaurant near the death camp in Dachau, Germany. Two local Jewish organizations are planning to protest on Sunday to urge people to boycott the fast food chain. This is not Disneyland. This is a death camp, said Bob Kunz, president of Shalom International, an anti-Nazi organization that is organizing the protest. Now, this was 1996. I wonder if it's still around, because that's
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Have a nice day. Like, visit the concentration camp. Go get some McDonald's. It's fun for the family.
I think about things like that a lot, because here on Staten Island, right, there's a cemetery, and right across from the cemetery, there's a Luigi's Ices. And I think about that all the time. Like, oh, you're going to go visit dead Aunt Margaret and then get a blue raspberry. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That place is very close to me.
I think there's just some things that, like, they need a certain radius of, like, you can just be peaceful and you don't have to spend your money and it doesn't have to be a brand, and that's okay. That right. What you just read blew my mind. Like, I was born in 1996, so I definitely didn't know about
this. You're young. We all get it.
But that's crazy.
By the way, that place that sells ices, that same little shack also sells gravestones.
Yeah, I know. It's literally half and half. It's like, oh, I get to pick out my mom's gravestone, and then I can get a nice, like, chocolate vanilla mix. Like, what's going on?
They screw it up and they deliver to your grandma's, like, grave, like, just a stone that says, like, Large Lemon. And you're like, her name wasn't Large Lemon. Yeah, there are things, right, that your brain goes, those don't go together.
Yeah. Right. Holocaust and McDonald's probably shouldn't go hand in hand, definitely.
Right. But you know, some fucking guy in 1996 was like, you know what? This is a tourist attraction. People go to see the death camps. They're going to be hungry after. They're going to be upset. Maybe they're going to be crying. You know what they need? A Happy Meal.
Nothing comforts me more than the bell, the boot, and the ball, and oh my God, the bone. Nothing comforts me more than the four Bs of the nuggets.
All right, let's step away from the movie for a second. I want to know your history with McDonald's. Do you have childhood memories?
Yeah, I actually have I have a rich history with McDonald's, I'd say, because, they should sponsor this. Yeah. But, no, like, growing up, like, my family really didn't have much money. So it was a big to-do with, like, if we were going to go grocery shopping or something, the McDonald's that was, like, near the mall in the Stop and Shop. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Very specific McDonald's location that I'm discussing. Yeah. But that was, like, my childhood McDonald's that, like, if I close my eyes right now, I could tell you what it looks like. Like, that it's burned in my brain. And I don't have many childhood memories, but, like, so I don't know. I remember that. I remember getting the Happy Meal burger. Like, that was my favorite thing. The little chopped up onions. I thought it was, like, a delicacy. Like, I thought that was, like, the greatest thing, because we didn't do, like, restaurants. I think the fanciest restaurant I did as a kid was, like, Applebee's. So I was like, McDonald's is my moment. And I love my little Happy Meal, like, burger and getting whatever toy. I collected the toys for quite a while. I don't think I have any of them anymore, but even now, sometimes when I go to McDonald's, like, I will get myself the Happy Meal just to, like, reconnect with, like, the stupid thin little burger with the chopped up onions and, like, get a toy. And I'm like, oh, this is good.
Well, it's this, like, beautiful little box, right? It comes to you like a present.
It does.
A box. And on the box is something colorful and wonderful. And then you open it up and, oh, it smells so good. And
the smell is everything.
The smell of McDonald's is absolutely everything. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm sadly a vegetarian, so I haven't had a McDonald's burger in a long time. I'm praying, hoping for them to get on the impossible bandwagon, but I still get the shakes. I still get the fries. I still get the warm apple pie, that, like, hot pocket apple pie. That's the only apple pie I like, by the way. I think apple pie is gross, like regular apple pie, but the McDonald's one, chef's kiss.
That's wow. You know what's so crazy? Because I feel like apple pie is, like, really associated with America. And, like, the McDonald's apple pie is really, like, piece de resistance of, like, what you just said there.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, are you going to get any more, like, stereotypically American than being like, the McDonald's apple pie is actually, like, top tier, like, God tier pie?
It really is, because it's all crusts. Like, the crust to, like, the actual apples is what grosses me out. The apple chunks. Like, I just want the cinnamon, this, like, the cinnamon gooiness and the crust. And it's all about ratio. So
mm-hmm. The McDonald's one
is, you know, perfect.
Yeah. And I feel like there's almost a guarantee that there's like barely any real apple in there. So you don't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah. Oh, McDonald's. Yeah. I have so many, like even knowing intellectually that they're a giant corporation that doesn't pay enough, that is deceptive, that gets people to eat garbage. You know, the terrible things about McDonald's, still like it's in my DNA. If I smell a McDonald's, I'm like,
dude, I feel you. Like for me, my weakness in my adult years, my weakness is the McGriddle. The McGriddle is, my mouth is watering just talking about it. The McGriddles to me, the sausage McGriddle specifically to me is like,
you're a breakfast person. Okay. Tell me.
Oh my God. Yeah. My mouth is literally watering thinking about it. It's been a minute since I've had one. The sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle to me is their best menu item. Controversial statement. Not many people agree. If they sold it all day, I'd have a problem. And starting with obesity and then like the lists would go on. Like I would have a problem. I honestly, I think it does me a big favor that like they close their breakfast window at a specific time and I never make it, but it is so delicious. And it's delicious in a way that it's like, I know it's going to hurt me so bad. My stomach's going to hurt. I'm going to like feel like I'm going to poop my pants. I'm also lactose intolerant, so I shouldn't even be like doing the cheese. But there's something so incredibly delicious about this grease bomb of breakfast food that I'm like, oh, it's heaven.
Is that heaven. One where it's like a sausage burger, but the bun is like pancakes?
Yes, sir. It's pancakes. But what makes it just truly decadent is they just inject that shit with syrup. Yeah. It's pancakes injected with syrup and it is
branded with the
amazing. M. Yeah. Yes. Branded with the freaking M. It is incredible. Incredible. It will improve my mood every time. 10 out of 10. Do recommend the grease bomb breakfast sandwich. Honestly, if they were available at 7 p.m., I would. And that's my toxic trait, actually. Wow. Including like tacking onto the nuggets one. I will always get one.
McDonald's claims in their advertising that they're the number one coffee place, more than Dunkin' Donuts, more than Starbucks. And by more, by number one, they mean they sell more.
They claim to be above Starbucks. I'm having a hard time. They sell
more coffee. Well, think about it. There are more drive-through McDonald's.
That's, you know what? I did take a step back just now, and you're right. One, it's probably so cheap. And two, it you're right. It's just so accessible because McDonald's are everywhere. You're right. I take it back. I'm not shocked anymore.
It's definitely not the best.
It's definitely like burnt and just miserable and like...
Yeah.
It'll do the job, I guess.
What do you think it is about people where they like shitty stuff? Like recently, me and my girlfriend, we'll order pizza, whatever. We live in Staten Island, New York. So there's like awesome pizza everywhere.
Everywhere.
But for some reason, we were like, you know, I haven't had Domino's in so long. And she was like, me neither. And I was like, do you want to get shitty, shitty cardboard Domino's pizza? And it was fucking amazing. It was so good.
Dude, when I tell you that my boyfriend and I, like, it's Domino's, like almost every time we want pizza, it's like Domino's just does it. I think there's something like so comforting about the consistency of like a fast food product. It is the same every time. If you leave the state and you go somewhere and there's a Domino's, it's going to be the same exact taste and sensation as, you know, when you were home. And there's something so comforting and so like fun about just being like, this is exactly what I know I'm getting. Whereas like, if you get a slice of pizza, it might be slightly different each time. They might fuck it up a little bit. Like, no, there's an exact formula going into your Domino's slice. And there's something fantastic about that.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay. So there's this German philosopher, Walter Benjamin. Okay. And Benjamin wrote this important essay called The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction or Reproducibility. And in this essay, he says, like, unless you've been to the Louvre and looked at the Mona Lisa with your eyes, you have not seen the Mona Lisa. You've only ever seen a copy of the Mona Lisa. And he's talking about how with the revolution of industrial copies, of being able to mass produce things, what you lose is what he called aura. Like when something exists, like the pizza you're just talking about, a slice of real pizza has aura. It exists. It's singular. It looks its own way. It smells its own way. It cannot be cloned. Fast food is clones. every McDonald's burger is going to hit you the exact same way because it is a clone of every other one.
Right.
And you're right. That's comforting.
Yeah. There's something so I listened to John and Hank Green's podcast, and John Green was talking about how he was out of the country. I want to say he was in Sweden or something. And instead of going to a different restaurant in Sweden, he ended up at, I want to say it was maybe Fridays or Applebee's, and he ended up there because it's going to be the same. Yeah. It's going to be the same thing. You know what you're getting, you know, what you're walking into, you know what flavors to expect. And there is something very comforting about that. And I do think for a lot of people, especially people low income people and things like that, there's something so good knowing oh, wherever I go, there's definitely going to be a McDonald's. There's definitely going to be a Domino's right outside the hotel. I'm going to get that.
Right. If you're traveling, right, and you're feeling homesick, the McDonald's will be hey, this McDonald's tastes exactly like the one near your house. So it doesn't matter that you're at a concentration camp or whatever.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean? This is going to be exactly what you want it to be. It's going to feel like home.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry that you're crying right now over this tragedy, but at least there's a McDonald's right outside.
Right. It will make you feel, it's what Ray Kroc says in the movie. It will feel like family.
Yeah.
He says crazy shit like that. He goes McDonald's is family.
Yeah. He says that as he's stomping on the dreams of a family.
Right. He's a guy with no kids of his own, by the way.
Yeah.
A horrible husband.
Yeah.
At some point, when Ray Kroc is franchising and he's becoming more successful, he goes to, I forget where he goes, maybe Baltimore. He goes somewhere and he's welcomed as a hero because the franchises have boomed their economy. And he goes to a restaurant and the restaurateur is kind of kissing his ass because he wants to open a franchise. And right in front of him, Ray Kroc sees his wife and he's I'm instantly in love with your wife and I'm going to take your wife from you. And by the way, did you notice, talk about symbolism, the wife has perfectly yellow blonde hair and a bright red dress. She is McDonald's personified.
Oh my God. My brain did not put that together, but holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
She is McDonald's as a woman. And just like the real McDonald's, it didn't belong to him, but he was going to fucking take it anyway. Right?
Wow. First of all, Ray Kroc really could have benefited from some therapy.
Yes.
This is, wow. The founder, honestly, in the rewatch, I was I really did like this movie. There's so much, because I feel once you know what's going to happen, you can pay more attention to the more subtle details. And I still managed to miss that one. And that's very impressive, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, when you watch a film where the main character basically goes from nice underdog that you're rooting for to evil villain, the rewatch is always great because you see the little cracks in the armor. You're okay, yeah. He just overstepped here. He just broke a rule here. He just, did something here. Because in the beginning, even in the beginning when he's franchising, he's going with the brothers. He's okay, the brothers are right. We have to have standards. It's two pickles, not three pickles. Don't fucking put three pickles on. And then one of the big, a symbol of purity in the movie is milkshakes. Because in the beginning, he's a milkshake salesman. And they need his machines to make the milkshakes. And then at one point they realize the walk-in freezer for the ice cream costs a lot of electricity to keep a walk-in freezer going. So if you could get rid of the walk-in freezer, you can make so much more money. So this woman, the woman who ends up being his second wife, she comes to him with instant fucking milkshakes that's just powder that you put in water. And that's the deal with the devil. That's when he sells his soul. When he's I no longer care about having real milkshakes. And then he gets into an argument with the McDonald's brothers on the phone. And he's how could it be a milkshake without milk in it? Don't you have any standards?
Right. And that's something that is still such a big thing now. Luigi's Ice is even their milkshakes. It's a powder unless they run out of the powder. And then, then they use milk. But it's so a lot of people are oh, I don't know because I can't have milk or whatever. And it's well, it's powder. It's not going to hit you as hard as milk, which is crazy to think about. I'm I don't know the history of the milkshake powder, obviously. But I do feel McDonald's is a big culprit in how popular that type of stuff is, definitely. The shortcuts. I feel McDonald's definitely normalized the shortcuts big time.
I mean, if we want to get real gross, we could talk about pink slime. Have you ever read about the pink slime?
No.
Their burgers are mostly...
Oh, okay. Say no more. Yes. Yeah. No, say no more. Yeah, I know. I know.
For the listener.
And I'll go eat one right now. I will. I'll still go eat it.
The burgers have pink slime, what they call pink slime in it, which is like a slime that is manufactured out of like a cow's asshole and like their hooves. And like basically every part of the cow gets put into this pink paste. And that's used as filler for whatever the real beef is. That's what you're eating. So it's like Frankenstein food. It's like not even like real food.
Yeah, and what's so crazy is I actually do really remember, I'm feeling really ashamed of myself as I'm thinking about this. I remember like seeing those videos, right, of like all of the like random animal parts just being like mushed up, and they're like, and this is what you eat. And I'm like, okay, and I'll eat it again. And I had that immediate reaction of like, whatever. And I'm like, why didn't this bother me more?
Wow, yeah, that's a really interesting question.
And then, you know, I feel like a lot of people had that same reaction, so I'm trying not to shame myself too much, but like I'm like, and I'll eat it right now. Like, give me one right now.
Okay. Right. Well, because you know what it is, like, you know when somebody's trying to manipulate you. Like, I'm a vegetarian, but I also know that like there are those like videos you could find of like chickens being abused and stuff. And it's like, it's all real. I'm not saying it's not real, but I am saying like the reason you made this video is to terrify people to not eat chicken anymore. And maybe they shouldn't. I actually will say, I don't think you should eat chickens because they scream their whole lives and it's horrible. But
oh my God.
You know when somebody's manipulating you and it's manipulating you.
Yeah. Is it like an upsetting reality? And would I, for if it was like still their little stand, their wholesome little stand where they're flipping real burgers and everything's like, yeah, of course. But, you know, I guess I have been numb to it, which is another big part of being American. We become very numb to certain things because it's the standard. Yeah. And I feel like a big part of like any franchise, not just McDonald's, is like you sort of know what you're participating in, but you participate in it anyway because it's just everywhere.
Yeah, I think to be an ethical person living in the first world, to living in America, it's kind of impossible. Yeah. You would have to not only get your own food, hunt your own food or grow your own food. You'd also have to sew your own clothing and make your own shoes.
Right. Right.
Because everything
I think about that a lot.
Made out of slave labor, basically, or phones.
Absolutely. Food. Yeah. I do think about that a lot, actually, because like I see a big, big push, especially for like people my age and stuff who like want to stay on trend with like clothes and things. People are like, you should go thrift shopping. You should like do Depop. You should whatever. And I'm like, not everybody has access to immediately go to a thrift shop. Not everybody has money to pay for like slow made clothing, conscious made clothing. And not everybody has these options, you know? And the reality is like most businesses are no better than like the businesses that people are like shaming. And it's there's no ethical consumption under capitalism is like the quote of the century. But
or you are rich somehow, and you somehow you could buy the things that aren't through that means of production. But I would argue if you're rich, you probably did something awful anyway. So there's no way around it, you know, like McDonald's, like McDonald's, people go, oh, well, if you don't like McDonald's or if McDonald's is unhealthy, why do you buy it? It's like, because it's cheap. That's why I fucking buy it. Right. If fucking apples were as cheap as McDonald's, if fucking, you know, the stuff in Whole Foods were as cheap as McDonald's, maybe people would fucking buy it. But it's not. You're asking me $1 million for kale. It's like, fuck you. Of course. You can feed a whole family at McDonald's for like $50.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like my mom, right? Like taking me and my sister, it's like a single mom who like is barely getting by. Like is she, like her two choices, let's say, is like feed her kids a full meal out of McDonald's or like break the bank to like get one healthy meal out of some groceries. That's going to either like you make it or it perishes and then you have nothing else. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to pick the cheap, quick option. And like, that's just unfortunately the way society set it up for us. So I feel like there is a lot of like shaming the consumer when the consumer really has no other choice.
Yeah.
People like demonize McDonald's a lot when it should rightfully be so, I guess, in some aspects. But in other aspects, I feel like it's a big help to people that don't have other means.
Yeah. Look, I think that I'm way, way, way older than you. So like, I've been thinking about this since I was a young go-getter like you. And like, like there's no way out of it in a sense, but I'm not a nihilist. Like, don't feel like there's nothing you can do. But at the same time, it's like, I wish I could afford an electric car. I can't. I can only afford a gas guzzling car. Do I know it's wrong? Yes. Do I feel guilty? Not really, because I don't have any fucking money. So, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, it's like, you know, I think you can have two things going on. I love Disney. I'm a huge Disney fan. Multiple episodes of this podcast are about Disney. But I also criticize Disney and think Disney's an evil corporation that fucking doesn't pay its people. You can have both going on in the same time.
Right. It's almost like we're multifaceted and capable of critical thought. Like, I think about that a lot as well. Like, people, like, you know, people should be allowed to feel joy if it's in something that others might consider silly or like not the most ethical. I feel like it, like, life is so terrible all the time. Like, if you're going to feel joy buying this $1 burger from McDonald's, or if you're going to feel joy like saving up and like going to Disney World, like, you're gonna do that, and that's fine, and it's not the worst thing you could do on your time, like, on earth. Like, there's many worse things that you could do with yourself.
Yeah, life is fucking miserable. So if something brings you a fucking second of joy,
yeah,
fine, as long as it's not hurting someone else. And I know capitalism hurts a lot of people, but if you've got to eat, right, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
I can't make my own sneakers. I don't know how to make my own sneakers. I don't know how to,
like, yeah. And it's not, it's honestly, it's not up to like the random middle class person in Staten Island to figure out the solution to these things either. So it's like, you know, McDonald's is always going to be there. I think McDonald's might be the last thing there. When the rest of the world collapses, there's probably going to be the Golden Arches, like, still standing. So yeah,
absolutely. So there's a really, maybe my favorite scene in the film comes at the very end. Ray Kroc continues to grow the business, and he gets into this scheme. I guess it's not a scheme, but it's a way of doing things, where a lawyer comes along and says, like, you know, what you need to do is you need to buy land and then rent the land you own to the franchisees. And then you can control how they make their McDonald's. And also you make the rent money. Like, that's how you get rich. And that's what he starts doing. And that's what, like, pushes him to, like, the next level of, like, super rich CEO. And that's when he has that heartbreaking scene where the brothers are like, you can't do this. And he's like, no, I don't care.
I know.
They're like, it's in your contract. And he's like, I'm not going to listen to my contract anymore. You can sue me and you might win, but you don't have the money to sue me. It's hard. It's the most evil he is in the whole movie.
And then Sweet Baby Mac ends up in the hospital. Like, I just,
I know.
It was too much.
I know.
Too much. And then that's when he, like, buys them out. And he buys them out for, when you really think about what McDonald's is today, it's such a puny amount.
Yeah, he buys them out for, I think it's something like 2.7 million, which after taxes would be a million for each brother. And they ask for like 1% of profits forever. And he doesn't give it to them, which would really not be a lot to him, but would add up to a lot for them. He doesn't give it to them. He fucks them over. He says, I can give you a handshake deal. I can't put in the contract, which he, of course, shakes their hand and he never gives it to him. But anyway, getting to my favorite scene, the best scene in the whole thing, is he's in the bathroom and Dick McDonald's is in the bathroom. And Dick goes, I've got to ask you. Dick just sold his own name for $1 million because he had no choice. They wanted to just be done with the devil. And Dick is like, I got to ask you something. When you came in to our kitchen, we showed you the whole concept. Why didn't you just steal it? Why did you franchise? Like, we gave you all the information. And then Ray Kroc is like, what I wanted was the name. My name's Croc. Who Crocs? Croc of shit. Croc of, like, who wants to go to a place called Crocs? McDonald's. That sounds American.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking true, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. Because you know what it is? Like, you, even if, let's say, like, our minds weren't, like, clouded with what we know McDonald's to be, like, the name McDonald's, like, past what I know as, like, the restaurant, my mind immediately is like farmer. American farmer, like, backbone of society. Yeah, it's like, you know, like, the name, like, really does make you think of those things.
Also, let's say it makes you think white, right? That's white name. You think wholesome middle class white family.
Yeah,
the McDonald's. They run a farm. They're good people, right? And maybe the original McDonald's brothers were good people, but then the fucking devil came and he stole their name. They could not call their own restaurant. First of all, he didn't want them to even keep the original restaurant. They fought to keep it. And then he said, you could keep it, but you have to rename it. It can't be called McDonald's. And you can't use the name McDonald's anymore, even though it's your actual name, because the intellectual property of that name belongs to Ray Kroc. So they changed it to, like, Original Burgers. And then this is in the movie. And then I was like, that can't be true. Let me look it up. In the movie, he opens a McDonald's, like, across the street just to be evil. I was like, let me look that up. he really did that. He really opened a McDonald's like two blocks from the original McDonald's just to destroy what was left of these gentlemen.
Just to be a bitch, honestly. Just to
be fucking evil.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so, I mean, honestly, by this point, it's like, what do you expect? But oh my God. It's like,
yeah,
give them a break. Give Nick Offerman a break.
I know. I know. You know what's really interesting to me? The film has no mention at all, visual or language, of Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was a legal thing. I want, because the real McDonald's had to have at least signed off on this in some way, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking about that too, because I'm like, wow, they really did not paint him in a good light. I'm like, I wonder what McDonald's felt about all that, because I feel like maybe they didn't see that coming, how like horribly he was painted. Right.
They had to. But they had to have okayed it. I mean, they had to have.
Okay, here it is. Ronald McDonald wasn't always the mascot. Originally, the McDonald's mascot was a sweet little chef named Speedy.
With the burger head.
Yeah.
He's the guy on the... Yeah, and Ronald McDonald changed too. The original Ronald McDonald, like, was terrifying looking. Like, he had, like, as a hat, he had, like, the food holder thing. It's terrifying.
It's so funny that you say that, because on the website where I'm reading the facts, so like what I just said was number 7, number 8 was, and the original Ronald McDonald was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. He's absolutely,
oh God.
He still is terrifying.
I just opened up the image of it because I never saw it before and I immediately closed it. I do have a little bit of a fear of clowns, and that really reinforced it.
And the person who played the original Ronald McDonald is Willard Scott, who I don't know if he's still alive, but he was a weatherman. Like for he also, like, in the morning, like he would be like, and he would announce how old people are. He'd be like, in Georgia, Mary Sue Smith is 108. Congratulations. Like, that was something he did every day on the news.
And his side gig was Ronald McDonald.
No, that his like, first gig was Ronald McDonald. Like,
oh, gone, oh, okay. Ronald McDonald. I gotcha.
When I think Ronald, I think of the 80s Ronald. Like, I could still see his face and hear his voice.
I have this like very like picturesque, like nostalgic image of McDonald's in my mind outside of my like childhood go-to McDonald's, which is like the one with like the playpen. And I don't know if you remember the one that had like the video games.
Yes.
Have like the TVs with the video games. And what's so crazy is like, I can totally vividly see that. And I know that I was around that, but like, I guess I must not have interacted with it as much, but I'm like, damn, are those still around? Like at all? Do we have like play pens at McDonald's? I guess in a post-COVID world, maybe not, but.
Well, you know, they were like completely dangerous and like not fit for children to play on.
A big liability, definitely.
Like there was a lot of rust and sharp edges. Like it was really, especially like when I was a kid in the 80s, there was like barely any rules at all. Like, I remember like going way, way back, the McDonald's from my childhood, they don't even have this character anymore. There was a character that was like a cop, like, you know, the Hamburglar, he steals, like the opposite of him was like a cop and he looked like a constable. He had like a British, like he looked like a British cop. He had like the nightstick and whatever. Anyway, there was this thing that was basically a little jail that had bars, and but it looked like this guy, and you would crawl into it and be like, look, mom, I'm in jail.
I just looked it up. Yeah, I just looked it up. It's very upsetting. His name is Officer Big Mac. And the jail in his face is something I truly could have lived without seeing.
Let me tell you, I still see it in my dreams. It is like a weird, it's like a core memory. Being inside, what's his name? Yeah. Detective McDonald?
Officer McDonald? I believe it's Officer McDonald. Yeah. And now he's your sleep demon.
Yeah. Now he watches me sleep and holds me down.
Just like at the foot of your bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Halloween. I don't know if this was a thing that they were still doing when you were a kid, but like for a long time they did around Halloween, the Happy Meals would come in like pumpkins. Do you ever see that?
No. This is such a shame, honestly. I definitely missed out on some really good things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it's wrong to say that the 80s was the golden age because I was a kid then, but
listen,
it was a lot. Totally... The toys were big. The toys were good.
I do see that. I will say that I have some really solid memories of some McDonald's toys that I had. Like I had, let me make sure that I'm getting this correct. I don't want to misquote, and then it's like actually from Burger King. Okay. Do you remember the movie Atlantis? Animated movie Atlantis?
Yes.
Okay. I had all the McDonald's Atlantis toys, and I thought they were just incredible.
Yeah.
I thought they were great.
Yeah.
I do remember like seeing as I got older and didn't really go to McDonald's as much, seeing the toys get worse in quality.
And smaller.
Yeah. Although fairly recently, like a year ago now, maybe 2 years ago, I do forget where you were in sometimes, they did Pokemon cards. And I did, in fact, order a Happy Meal like every day to get all the Pokemon cards. I thought that was a pretty sweet deal.
I still, when they have toy that I'm interested in, I still go get it. They recently did like an anniversary thing where they had a bunch of the old toys back, and I got a bunch of them. Like the Nuggets dressed up in costumes, the Nugget guys, which is weird because you would eat them, but they had like little on
them. Yeah.
Don't give them names. I'm going to eat them.
I also, okay, so like I was only 1 year old like when this happened, but the Hercules plates from McDonald's, I actually still have some of them for a very, very long time. Like as a kid, it was like an OCD thing. I was like, I can only eat on Meg. If you put my food on anything but Meg, like I'm not going to eat it. Sorry. Absolutely. No dinner.
Makes sense.
No dinner tonight. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Keep that forever. That's like for the good company. Get the good plates. There's company over.
The fine china. The fine McDonald's china.
My favorite toys were, and this is when I was a kid, I don't remember what year, they had Muppet Babies from the original Muppet Babies. And they had a lot of them. And I had a cousin who was a teenager then. And she worked at McDonald's. And she like got them all for me and gave them all to me. And I had them all. Incredible.
Wow. You had the Muppets hookup.
You bet
I did. Happy Meal hookup.
Bet I did. Yeah. McDonald's. I could eat some right now. I don't care about anything we've just said. I still think they're the best fries. Hands down, they're the best fries.
Oh, I say this all the time. I met with a lot of resistance, but I really do think they're the best fries. I love me a good shoestring cut fry.
Sure.
And I just think like, even when it's sort of bad, like even when the consistency is a little bit off, I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever eaten ever. That's it.
Right. And sometimes I am in the mood for like, well, they don't have them anymore, but the KFC wedges, they got rid of them. Now they have regular fries. And it's like, why would you?
I never got to have the wedges. My boyfriend tells me all the time that the KFC wedges were like immaculate. And because I'm like, I'm never going to get to know.
Because they would fry them in the same grease as the chicken. So they basically tasted like.
Oh, my God.
But you know who still does that? Checkers. Checkers also have mozzarella sticks where they fry mozzarella sticks in the chicken oil. I like all fast food, to be honest with you. Like, I love Taco Bell. I had Taco Bell today. Taco Bell, by the way, is clutch if you're a vegetarian. It's so, they just swap out meat for beans. It's like so good.
Oh, wow. That's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really only go to like McDonald's, and I have to say I sort of fell off from it because I ate it too much, but a Wendy's chicken sandwich for me, pretty good. Pretty
Wendy's
good.
Is good. I like Wendy's. I like their burgers. They're square burgers. And they put mayo on it, which sounds gross, but I like it.
You could put mayo on anything and I would eat it. Like my whitest quality. I love good mayo, like mayonnaise on anything, I'll eat it. It is my whitest quality. Absolutely.
Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. You know, Burger King's fries suck. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
I am a Burger King auntie. Like, I will not eat Burger King. Burger King and White Castle. White Castle gave me food poisoning one time, and that was it. Ruined it.
Yeah, but that's what it's supposed to do.
I can't fear for my life. Like,
I know. Have you ever had Bear Burger? It's like a real place. There's like there. No, it is. It's like a real place. It's like not fast food. There's like two in Brooklyn and a bunch in the city. It's kind of like a hipster kind of burger place. And they have impossible nuggets. And I had them and they tasted so much like McDonald's nuggets, but they were impossible meat. And I was in heaven. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever had. Because it was bringing me back to childhood, but without actually eating nuggets. It was
fascinating that like McDonald's doesn't have any like vegan options.
They're like holding on. They're like, fuck the trends, because everyone else is getting on board. Burger King has the Impossible Whopper. even White Castle has impossible sliders.
I think like society is definitely shifting more towards like veganism, vegetarian. Like, I think it's really interesting. Like, you want to stay the monopoly, you better get with the program. Like,
I think they will. I think they will. It's good. There's no way they completely ignore it. It's gotten too big. There will be like the impossible Big Mac or whatever, and I will get it on day one.
Yeah, there's gonna be insane like lines everywhere for that, probably, because everybody wants the comfort of McDonald's, but they want it to fit their current lifestyle needs. So yes,
exactly.
Maybe we should send some emails.
Yeah, like, you need PR, because this is what people love your shit, but you're evil. And like, if we just tone down the evil like a little bit, people are like willing to forgive you. Have you ever had a Big Mac?
I feel like maybe once, but my thing with, so I actually never, like with McDonald's, I never left childhood. Like I said, like I will get the Happy Meal, like the thin, tiny, small baby burger. Like I'll get that, or I'll get nuggets. And then the only time I've been adventurous really is the McGriddle. So like with McDonald's, I have my staples and I refuse to deviate for whatever reason. It's like, I'm going to McDonald's. I'm revisiting my childhood. Nobody bother me. This is my bubble. I really don't deviate. Yeah.
I respect it. Yeah. I did graduate to different things. I went from Happy Meals for a long, long time to like Quarter Pounders and Double Quarter Pounders. And then the Big Mac, like once I tried, the Big Mac was always intimidating because it had that weird sauce and there was extra bread. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. But one, like I had a time where I was like super into them and I was like, wow, like everything, the way the lettuce is, like it's a symphony. It is the Big Mac. And I, you know, look, I like a Whopper, but the Whopper, you know, that's just a burger. The Big Mac is art. The Big Mac is art. And on that note, this has been such an amazing conversation. Jamie Weaver, thank you so much for being here and talking to me about McDonald's and the founder.
It has been honestly a delight.
It has been. And tell us where our listeners can like find some of your art, some of your work online.
Okay, yeah. So Instagram is really like the main place to find me. That's at okjamie.art. I spell my name weird, so that's J-A-I-M-E-E. .art. Yeah. I didn't have a say in it. People think I'm being quirky. I'm like, I promise you, this is not up to me. This is not my choice. Goodness. But yeah, I post rather infrequently, but you know, I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
Well, you're juggling many things, but that's, you are a great artist. I commissioned from, you were doing, what was it, Valentine's Day cards a year ago? I commissioned a Valentine's Day card from you and gave it to Jen, and she loved it and I loved it. It was really cool. You were really amenable. You were able to like try different styles, and it was really cool.
I really enjoyed doing that. It pushed me out of my box a lot. I was like, ooh, a little Animal Crossing style, why not?
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.